Thank you, Babaji. So we have several questions around the theme of the mind. So the first question, a very broad question, is can you explain to us what is the mind? There seem to be many definitions.
When we keenly observe, to my experience and in my opinion, the nearest clue that we can give is mind is a combination of consciousness and energy. So generally people recognize the mind based on the thoughts and the visions that they have. Like my mind wants to do this, my mind wants to go there. And in the process, they also talk, I want to do, I want to listen, I want to go, all these things. But nobody has seen the mind in naked eyes. It is infinite. It's a certain thing appears to be just a void place or a space. Can be an amazing substance of consciousness and energy. That is the mind. And its location also, nobody knows. Within the body, we recognize that one. But in deeper meditations, you will experience it as an all-pervaded soul. In fact, the mind is nothing but you. When you are thinking, you consider that as your mind. When you are not thinking, you are silent, right? So that is the mind's nearest clue is consciousness and energy. Here, consciousness means wherever you apply the consciousness, you become aware of that truth.
Like when I am talking, if all of you apply your consciousness to me, then you become aware of what I am trying to convey. Otherwise, the same mind can be spinning and running away somewhere with some other imaginations also. So that is its imagination qualities, possibility to be creative, all these things happen due to the presence of energy in the mind that spins and the mind goes into an imagination. So that's what the mind means.
So Babaji, you say the mind is infinite and has no location, and yet each of us think of our mind as if we individually have a mind and it's centered on us. It seems to be centered on us all the time. How can that be, that it's infinite and yet we only see it as individual?
For a while, because the consciousness is stuck to the brain, or I can say the soul's consciousness has been drawn and stuck into the brain's reflections, so you have body consciousness as yourself. It appears as if the body is you, whereas you are beyond the birth and death of the physical body. You are that infinite, that which you experience. But just now you can experience your mind also only within the body. Though a perfect location may not be visible or unable to make out where the mind is. Mind is your conscious energy. Brain is the biological organ in the body. They both are separate for now. Brain has helped you to be in touch with this world. Brain is in touch with the universe through the nervous system and all the five sensory organs, right? It receives message and that reaches the brain, then the brain passes on the order also. In this process, the brain reflects, decodifying it as a thought or as a vision. This is caught by the mind, which is the combination of consciousness and energy. It reverberates in the mind and the mind registers that reflection in itself and feels as if it is the reality, as if it is undergoing that experience, either of a thought or a vision or an emotion, like a fear or a courage or a panic or anything, good or bad, happiness, unhappiness. So all these things are experienced. But the mind is a pure consciousness. It is a purified state. So now, brain can be a very good servant, but a very bad master, in my opinion. Because you are, through the practice of meditation, you are able to keep the mind withdrawn and under control, quietness. You will not become a victim of whatever the brain reflects. You will be able to apply the brain with a proper wisdom and a better understanding of the outside universe and yourself, experience your real self. All these things are possible through the practice of meditation. When you control yourself, when you take control of the mind, you become the master of the mind, and thereby you can become the master of the brain also. To you, you have to use the brain. So that's what, the brain should not be allowed to use the mind. The mind always becomes a victim by taking it in good faith of whatever the brain reflects. Any judgment, any analyzation, like a foe might appear as a friend might appear as a foe. So when the mind imagines with the help of the brain. So that's why a proper wisdom needs to be applied. Properly you have to use the brain. This is possible when you practice longer meditations, and you will be able to think justice and the right things, the right understanding about the things.
Thank you, Babaji. So, you've written a commentary on Adi Shankara's Viveka Chudamani. Could you explain about Viveka, this discrimination, please?
Viveka is the wisdom. Because you have a well-developed brain, using it, you would be able to discriminate a right or a wrong in a much better way than other creatures probably. And you are able to understand the things also. Like, you are able to understand the entire universe, including your own physical body, is impermanent. Everything has its own time limit. Whether it is 100 years, 1000 years, or 10,000 years, whatever it is. Earth and sun also have their own limits. One time after a billion years, or tomorrow, anytime anything can happen. So that's how you are able to apply the wisdom. Like as a child, I used to think, if the happiness is there, it must be there all the 12 months and 24 hours. Why is there a fluctuation? Sometimes an unknown fear is there, and sometimes there are tense moments, sometimes it is excitement. So why is this fluctuation? Is there something wrong in me or something wrong in the world? That's how I used to think. If it is there, it must be there, a happiness. It should not fluctuate into unhappiness. All the time happiness must be experienced. What makes us not to experience such a thing? So that's how I used to think. Like this, one has to discriminate right and wrong, impermanent and permanent. See, as I have always told in my talk, everybody is knowingly or unknowingly are looking for happiness and peace only. Only if the path is not known, if the technology is not known, then you are unable to achieve that permanent peace. Sometimes, like normally people try to depend on the objects of this world for their happiness. They imagine, if I get this car, if I get this aeroplane, if I get this wealth, I can be happy. For a while they become happy, but that is temporary. Again, all other things with that wealth or any object that you obtain, they all follow. So troubles, tensions, fear. If at all we get what we imagine, then after getting it, oh, we should not lose it again. Then again, tense moments happen. So like this, it always follows. The more that we go after the impermanent things, the more troublesome unhappiness keep happening. So there is never a contentment for human beings. Contentment becomes so elusive. Even after 70, 80 years, if one looks back, that very peace that person was looking for and the contentment seems to be so elusive in this world. So that is how things happen with imagination.
Thank you, Babaji. So this discrimination, as people, as we meditate, our discrimination will improve, but should we also take it as a mental practice outside of meditation to develop this discrimination?
Yeah. You see, your observation power, memory power, understanding power increases tremendously. Just for a simple example clue, on so many people, so many things would have fallen, not only apple or the fruit. That one person thought, why this apple is coming down, has come down and fallen on my head? Why didn't it go above? So then he thought, he tried and he understood, discriminated about the gravitational pull of the earth. Earth has that gravity power. So about this gravity all he studied and he told. So he came to be known as, it also came to be known as Newton's law. Just for sake of understanding, the name was given. So like that, when the mind is best concentrated, when it is not confused, then its discrimination power, judgment power, analyzing power all tremendously increase. You are able to observe keenly, properly. So then you understand the world. So many discoveries, inventions in all the fields, science, technology, astronomy, so many things are there. Never ending. Intelligent people, by observing, so they concluded that this is what happens, this is what happened, this is how things are going on, this is how the earth revolves around sun. Like this, they discovered many things. So that is how, if the mind is purified, and it is not confused, it is more concentrated. So the practice of meditation, spiritual practices, can be very helpful in these matters.
So as we develop discrimination, do we also develop detachment from the world? And is that a good thing to develop?
A detachment means when there is a firm conviction, understanding that the world is impermanent, including our body. So an alertness is always there to face the moment. If it happens, we have to accept. Acceptance comes. That's what detachment means. Detachment doesn't mean that you have to hold your head and sit in a corner depressed. That is not detachment. Detachment is a better understanding of the universe, of the matter, of our own physical body, that it is impermanent. Then you are simply alert. If it happens, it happens. So as long as it goes on. So that type of alertness is there, awareness, better awareness. That detachment definitely comes.
Thank you. We've also talked about judgments. Sometimes I've understood that the mind catches the brain's reflections, recognizes, analyzes, and makes a judgment. So it's the mind making a judgment. But other times, I thought it was the brain that makes a judgment and then confuses the mind. So is judgment sometimes done by the brain, not the mind, or what is it?
You see, if we simply become a victim of the brain, simply accept everything that the brain reflects in good faith, we don't apply our own mind's discrimination, then such a thing can happen. What the brain makes the judgment, brain tells, this is it, this person is very wrong. I mean, you start believing that person is wrong. So this person is your enemy. It says, and then you start believing that person to be your enemy. So you won't bother to verify the facts. You won't bother to understand properly what it is and why it is. So that is the discrimination power of the mind. So if you practice meditation, it becomes more purified as a consciousness, and then it is able to use the mind, the brain, understand the brain in a better way. Even if that is what has to happen, so then the mind will be able to discriminate properly and understand permanent, impermanent. Just one thing today I will tell. The entire universe, Milky Way, everything is there, galaxies, everything. Actually, nobody knows what it is. When people have observed, certain imagination has come in their mind as a criteria. Oh, this is happening like this. So based on that, they have imagined a name for sake of understanding. Like, for example, so many things have come in the name of persons. People also in science, technology also, spirituality also, all these things. We call it Newton's law. But Newton did not invent, he discovered. It was already there in the nature. So like that, every name, every terminology has been used for sake of communication and understanding. But actually nobody knows what it is. In the same way, like about God, nobody really knows what it is, how it exists. But with a certain criteria, they called it in that way, divine in nature. It is divinity. Like a droplet is there and ocean. Ocean of that droplet. So the ocean shall consider, droplet shall consider the ocean as its God. And whatever is in your mind, to those characters, story and everything, your mind is the divinity. Because any moment, any time, if the mind wants to stop that story, it can withdraw, it can become quiet. Simply when it becomes quiet, everything is quiet, disappears, whatever is in the mind. And the story that is built up within the mind imagines. So it can change the course of the story anytime. It can make one character happy, another character unhappy, and make one character villain, another character a hero, like that. It imagines. So everything. That is how it is known as the Bhagya Vidata, means the destiny of those characters are in the hand of the mind. For that reason, that supreme consciousness, they call, which is all pervaded in all the worlds. Like the Gayatri Mantra's basic meaning that I have told, Bhur Bhuvasva Bhulokai, on this world and the above the worlds, below the earth, all the worlds, all over, it is simply all pervaded. And that tattva, as I told, nobody knows what it is. Everything is a given name for sake of communication and understanding. It was such an awesome thing when they realized the self through tapas, the great sages. So such an awesome thing, they called it simply that. You can call it in any name, you can call it in any form. Like I tell, the room is void with space or the room is filled with space. Depending on your mental attitude, things appear to you. A zero appears as absolute, absolute is zero. In that way, so these things appears whatever we imagine. So that is how this world also appears, and that divinity also. They called it, that is Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, that is divine in nature, because it can cleanse all our unhappiness and sins. Here, sins doesn't mean what the humanity of the world decides. This is good, this is sin, and this is not sin. Not that one. Here, sin means a grave mistake. If the mind goes away from its real self in illusion, in imagination, and forgets about itself, that is a grave mistake. it can be putting itself into an ugly situation, somewhat like that. So like you are watching a movie, you're just watching a movie. The movie is not going to harm you in any way. It is only made believe, acted and projected. But if your consciousness gets sucked into that, then you keep watching and you start identifying yourself into the movie, and all the good, bad, happiness, unhappiness, emotions, fear, everything appears as if it is happening to you. And in due course of time, you might forget that you are sitting and watching the movie, and you may start crying, you might become panicked. It can be quite scary. Anything can happen, whereas nothing is happening actually to you. So all these are all imaginations, due to imagination. So that is how whatever you imagine about this world, you get to see the same about this world. Your attitude decides about this world. To one person, the world might be very good. Another might consider the world as very bad, if his experiences are very bad. You enter a city, and if your experiences are bad about the people of the city, you might consider the city is very bad. Whereas another person's experience is very good about the city and the people of the city, he will consider that city to be very good. So it is the attitude on which things depend. Things are neither good nor bad. It is simply there, that's it. How you are going to take it. That is how the imaginations occur, and the mind, it can discriminate properly. So when you meditate, these understandings come very better. So that's why I tell youngsters, if you practice meditation, you can live like a genius. Means your understanding capability, observation about this world, any things that are happening, you will have the better judgment capacities and proper analyzing capacities. You will not lose confidence. There won't be any confusion, incompetent or difficult to take a decision. Indecision is what many a youth keep asking the question in life. So how to use the proper decision making? So like this, confusions can happen if the understanding is not better.
Thank you, Babaji. So what incarnates? We talk about all our different lives. What is it that's going from life to life, or body to body, or identity to identity?
As we were discussing about the mind, it is the same mind. Until it doesn't become pure consciousness. Pure consciousness means it has to abandon all cravings. Then mind is no more mind. All its desires, all its imaginations, all its judgments, all its attitude, generally what I call as the acquired habits of the mind. So that mind has to give up totally once for all. Till then, that carries to its next life. Because of these imaginations that it is carrying, that becomes the reason for it to take a next birth. The clue is, I have told, like this world appears to you based on your attitude. That is the clue. Okay, whatever you think in the mind, you get to see that same thing. So thus, we tell people, if you are positive in your visualization, you can be shaping a better positive destiny for yourself. In due course of time, things can materialize in such a way. Mind has such powers. When it becomes more and more concentrated, repeatedly it visualizes the same thing, then such a thing can be happening to you. So when death happens to the physical body, the brain also dies. That's how medically doctor declares, "Why, I am going to declare he is dead, he has passed away." So many terminologies, languages are used. The soul has departed and the body has been dropped and it has gone. But nobody knows what has happened to the soul, where it has gone, what has happened. It is a still existence, standstill existence, soul. The soul doesn't travel from one place to another place. Then and there itself it spins, carrying the acquired habits. With the habit of that spinning, it assumes its next incarnation. So that is how different lives happens. Like this life also has happened. So, recommended goal, as you are looking for peace and happiness, the supreme peace can come only when you achieve total contentment. Contentment is there in your mind, means it is pure consciousness. There are no more desires. Simply acceptance is there. Whatever happens, it's fine. No problem. And there is no problem, you don't have any problem. So you don't have to see anything at all. There is nothing else to achieve, nothing else to fulfill. So you don't have to be reborn. If the consciousness is pure and totally contented, that's what a yogi, after long time practice of meditations like tapas, his consciousness would have become totally purified. Whenever the mind becomes purified, it merges with the self. It goes towards the divinity. When it is into imagination, it comes away. The more it imagines, it comes away from its real self. So that's what the grave mistake we said. You go out of your home, is no problem. But you must remember to come back to your home, its location. So if you forget that you have a home and keep wandering on the streets, so you put yourself into an ugly situation. So you don't know who you are, what is going to happen. So you can be forgetting yourself and wandering like a madman. So that is washed away when you practice meditation, when you remember the divine's nature in your mind, when you adopt that meditation. So when you silently watch, that's what you are precisely trying to do. When we teach, close your eyes gently, just try to focus your mind and sight. By fixing the eyeballs here, just keep watching here. So you are trying to get rid of all the thoughts and visions there are in the mind as an acquired habit. Mind has become habitual since time immemorial. So many lives would have passed probably. So it is there. So it must get rid of. Then it becomes pure. Then it merges with the self. When it merges with the self, so it is totally at peace, supreme peace, and there is no rebirth for a yogi. So as long as the body exists, he is quiet and ever silent one in his consciousness. Even if he is talking a lot, gossiping, any topic, his consciousness is totally pure and totally contented and totally silent. He doesn't picturize or dramatize. Whereas if you observe your mind, if I am talking anything, any story, nothing or something, even if I talk, there is really nothing, there is really nothing. That also gets imagined in the mind. Mind builds up a periphery of its own. It reverberates. That picture, that story goes on and on and on. That has stopped in our mind. So consciousness purely just watches. That is what is known as a witness. We watch it, the world as a witness. Mentally, we don't get involved anywhere. That's how the lives, different lives that you are asking. So things happen. A little bit of clue, somewhat the nearest you can tell.
Thank you, Babaji. So I think I've heard you say that each time there is an incarnation, the mind weakens and spreads further into the universe. So to stop that, we have to have a stronger mind to meditate. But our mind's actually getting weaker every lifetime. So if I couldn't meditate properly in my previous lives, how is it with a weaker mind I can now meditate? How can I reverse this?
You see, somewhere you have to start. You have an illness in the body. Doctor prescribes medicine. You tell doctor, I am ill, I cannot take the medicine. You won't tell that. You need medicine to overcome the illness. So mind is weak. To make it strong only, you need to practice meditation. So you have to become determined, dedicate yourself, try to remain disciplined and exercise some patience. These things become possible when you understand the need of it. Always in this world, the moment your mind understands that it needs, then it becomes ready to go out of way to get that one. Like I keep telling jokingly, everybody understands that they need a livelihood, they need some food to sustain the physical body, and you are not going to wait for a guru like me to come and give you a talk or a lecture or a upadesha that you need to earn and you need to eat. People will go out of way. That is the first priority they will set. They will take out time. They cannot afford to sell. I don't have time to earn anything. I don't have time to eat. Not possible. Even in the midst of a match, cricket match also, they take out time to eat and drink some tea like that. In the midst of business also, people would like to eat something when the time comes. Otherwise, how will you sustain the body? So like that, you need to understand the need first, that you need it. So you need that peace. You are desperate. This world, everybody is looking for peace and happiness. They are desperate. They should understand this is the way. If your mind becomes peaceful, you have peace. So if you can keep your mind peaceful, quiet, that is what it is, then you have that peace. Every time you achieve something in this world, whenever the mind becomes quiet even for a moment, then you experience that peace. But soon you lose that peace because the mind again jumps and goes into a craving of wanting more and something else. You have a bicycle, then you want a motorcycle, then you want a car, you want a helicopter, you want an aeroplane, and never-ending desires go on and on and on and on. So like this, things keep happening. So that's what you have to understand, the need, and then try and sit. Then you can get it. You can do that one. I have read in newspapers and some articles about great warriors who have fought wars, even the militaries. They have been hit by bullets. They know very well they are going to die. But some people have tied their bleeding with some cloth or something that they have, and then went on shooting until they haven't fallen down to death. So that attitude must be there. Do or die. Like our master said, when he made me to sit for tapas, you come out as a yogi or your dead body must come out. Must not abandon, give up. So that type of dedicated attitude, firm, determined. So, well, with the three mantras I tell, dedication, discipline and patience. With these three things, one can definitely meditate and achieve. Also, you think one more last point, though it is very difficult, it is not impossible. That's what we were taught since childhood. Anything to achieve, it might be difficult, but it's not impossible. If there is a thing difficult, there is always a hope. You can put an effort. Only when a thing becomes impossible, there is no point in trying. If a body is dead, no point in trying. It's impossible to revive. Doctor says, Kibai, he is over. So take care of this. Take leave of this body with due honors. Perform funeral. That's what happened. So that's the difference between very difficult and impossible thing.
Thank you, Babaji.
Pranam, Babaji. I would like to know, what do you mean when you say a troubled mind? Because sometimes I think I've got a troubled mind. I'm trying hard to focus on my meditation and I can't.
Yeah, troubled mind, that's what is the trouble, when you are unable to control your mind. Keep it restrained. Get rid of anything that is troubling. Some thoughts might be troubling. Some visions might be troubling. Some depression might be troubling. And you are unable to get rid of that. So that is the troublesome mind. So this can be overcome when you practice meditation. You become stronger than your mind. Means you become stronger than your own creation. That's very important. In this world, you see, a great machine is there, a railway engine, created by human beings. But in front of one single human being, that machine is very great strength. So then it becomes so difficult. If it is going to go on you, it will crush you and make you sandwich. So in the same way, thoughts can be so troublesome sometimes. Our teachers used to tell in school, the funeral pyre is much better than the fire of worries of the mind. That's more dangerous. Worries of the mind are more dangerous than the funeral pyre, the funeral fire, you know. So that's what they say, the old saying. So to get rid of that, you have to meditate. That is the troublesome thing.
Thank you, Baba. Thank you.
Pranam, Babaji. Babaji, just listening to you earlier, you mentioned that the soul, nobody knows where the soul goes, or at the time of death, the soul spins and assumes the next birth. Now, thinking about at the point of death, I have attended a funeral where they have read the Garuda Puran and they have mentioned about the travel of the soul. So I'm just wondering, what is your thought and your feedback on things like this? Because we tend to believe that what's being read by the priest at that point in time talks about the journey of the soul.
Instead of these Purana stories, I would recommend great spiritual scriptures like Yoga Vasistha, Vasistha teachings of yoga, Upadesha to Lord Rama. So he talks, but his experience is the same thing we got to see also. Then and there itself it spins and it creates its own world. But we people of this world will try to imagine based on our imagination capability, depending on this world, that it has to go to some other loka, we imagine, and then it might come back to this loka only in the next birth. All these imaginations, so based on this, myths have been built up. But when we experience in deeper meditation, the soul doesn't really travel. It simply spins in illusion and creates an illusion, just like the magicians working sometimes. So that type of techniques, the mind has such type of techniques of illusion. It creates a separate world of its own and it binds itself with the birth and it gets to see the story that it had been used to imagine and visualize. You cannot track. That's what I have repeatedly tried to teach. Though there is a rebirth, and the previous birth was also there, but it's impossible to track. In the previous birth, with the death of the brain, you would have lost the memory totally. Actual memory is stored in the brain. Once that is gone, everything is totally deleted, nothing is there. So only mind carries habits as symptoms. It doesn't know about the previous lives happening, but such symptoms it will carry. Like sometimes when you meet a person, you start liking unknown to you, or you feel as if you had met that person, some places you had met, somewhere you develop some attachment, something can happen. So some people start telling maybe some previous lives attachment, something like that. But nobody knows exactly what it is. That is the real truth.
So, Babaji, on that, is there a need to do Garuda Puran at the time of death?
It is read to create some fear in human beings. If humanity doesn't have fear, they become corrupted. In spite of all this also, people get so corrupted so easily. Nobody is afraid of divine or injustice or wrong things or sins. They go on doing, they justify their every step as the right things. So for these purposes only these stories were told, So if you don't do proper karmas, you are likely to undergo all these different hell, this, that, and whatever they could imagine. They have described the hell also in so many ways. So hell is here, heaven is here, everything is here. You experience in your mind. So that's what happens. You need to purify with spiritual exercises. Learn to consider about each other in this world. Learn to consider not to become corrupted, to be afraid of doing injustice to somebody. So all these things are very important. This is what moral values need to be taught repeatedly by everybody. But we try to remember these moral values only when somebody dies. Then we also are reminded that one day we will also die. That's when a fear occurs. My God, what will happen when I die? Let me try to know something by, let me listen to Garuda Purana. Otherwise, we cannot get rid of the hell, all these things. So that is when we try to listen. Oh, it has been prescribed. We have to listen. So it is more than the necessary to read a Purana. It is necessary not to become corrupted.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Babaji.
Pranam, Babaji. I have two questions. There may not be time for both of them. The first one was inspired by the previous question. You said that the memory goes away when the mind goes away. But
the brain dies. Memory goes away when the brain dies.
That's right. Sorry about that. Yes, that's what I meant to say. But in the Puranas, we also read about some rishis, some seers, who are able to see things that happened far in the past and all of that, like in Mahabharata or whatever. So they are remembering things like that. So where is that information coming from that they're remembering?
In my opinion, they are all myths, maybe for diplomatic reasons or political reasons, some consoling reasons. These stories or these things have been used to convince people of certain things. It had to be employed psychologically also many times. So that could have been the reason. Otherwise, technically, scientifically, spiritually, there is no such thing. All self-realized masters have always used, even if you have read in Ramana Maharshi's story, when people spoke to him about the previous life, he told, what you are now is more important than what you were in your previous life. Self-realization, that's what they have recommended.
Also, Michael had mentioned that when we reincarnate, each time we take a new birth, the mind gets weaker. I don't understand what that means. What do you mean by the mind gets weaker?
Yeah, I have told in my talks also, based on my experience and observation during deeper meditations, every time mind reincarnates, that reincarnation happens due to lot of creativity within the mind. When it becomes creative, it splits. It can be splitting into so many layers, millions of layers. So thus, when it reincarnates, if it imagines very violently, if it belittles itself, so that consciousness may split, so the mind can become very weak the next birth. So it binds itself with that weakness and undergoes all the destiny that it would have imagined previously. So every time. Like, for example, and what Swamiji explained to me once, the beginning of creation, we can just take an enormous amount of consciousness arose from the Supreme Consciousness. The concepts which are known as the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, these are, Brahma means the one who creates illusion but doesn't get involved into the illusion. So he became the creator. The same Supreme Consciousness created in creativity. Then Vishnu sustains that imagined, that created things for a long time. That's why Vishnu is known as the protector also. Shiva means your existence in thoughtlessness state, withdrawal of that creation is the Shiva. Nischeshtit is the Sanskrit word, if you can understand, without any chesta. So thus, these are known as the first trinities, divine incarnations, who created but did not get with their creations. That's why they remained with the divinity, with the supreme being, totally pure. But after that, if you read the Puranas about the devatas and all, they have been shown as always corrupted, insecure, for power, for seed, fight, this, that, so many things. So gradually, that's how the consciousness started becoming corrupted a little bit. When the desires arose, it became corrupted. It wanted, it became anger, it became a victim of the desires. Then it went on fighting, it felt insecure. So life after like that, mind started becoming more and more corrupted and totally forgot about its real self and went on with the universe, with the imagined things, wanting them for its happiness, and it never got happiness, contented completely. Thus the mind, consciousness becomes weak and weak every incarnation. So from a divinity, it has become an ordinary human being now, imagine. So to get rid of that, one has to meditate again, gather the mind. Again, all the things, it has to become purified. So the more it becomes purified, it merges with the divinity self or the ultimate truth. When it merges, it is totally contented. There is nothing that it needs to have. So this is the clue about how it becomes weak and how it can become stronger again.
Thank you, Babaji. That's very beautiful.
Our deepest appreciation to all of you. May the Divine Guru Shiva Balyogi bless you all. All may love and blessings to all of you.